ready to get down to business? Join seasoned entrepreneur, community leader, and Army veteran Scott Shalom Klein, who will take you behind the scenes with those who work in America's small business scene and speak with leaders making an impact, creating jobs, and telling their story in entrepreneurship.
So let's get down to business.
On AM 560, The Answer, here's your host, Shalom Klein.
And indeed, we're all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship and business. We talk a lot about business here on with Get Down to Business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts on my website at syklein.com. While you're there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you won't want to miss. So let's jump right in. I'm thrilled to kick off the program with a really important topic. You know, I have certainly seen a lot of studies that have shown that most people quit or stay at their jobs because of the same 4 to 8 people they interact with daily. And that's their work team, whether it's in person or remote. So if you want to better your work life, begin by bettering how your team works together. That's your team habits. And that's why I'm thrilled to be joined by the author of the new book, Team Habits, How Small Actions Lead to Extraordinary Results. That's Charlie Gilkey, who is a business author, speaker, coach, and entrepreneur specializing in leadership, teamwork, and productivity. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us.
Shalom, thanks for having me. I'm also a fellow vet, so thank you for your service.
Likewise, same to you, my friend. Thank you so, so much. So let's jump right in. Why did you decide to write the book, Charlie?
Well, you know, the pandemic actually gave a really good impetus to do this because it took all of the ways we worked with each other and just trashed them. And, you know, when I was working with my clients and my community, my question was, you know, since we have to recreate a new normal anyways, what can you do to create a better new normal? And, you know, I wrote Team Habits because I think it's the focusing on the ways teams work with each other as the axis of change is completely overlooked. And most people try to change people, and changing people's hard, but changing patterns and the ways teams work together is so much easier and so much more enduring.
Absolutely. Charlie, you've been a busy man. You previously wrote a book on personal productivity. So what's the link between this book on teamwork and your last book?
Well, when I wrote my last book, Start Finishing, I knew it was part of a 3-book arc, right? So that book was about how an individual can do their best work. And I knew the logical next question was going to be, how can you do your best work as a team? And then the next one in the arc was, what do leaders need to do? And so the link between the personal productivity is, and this one is that, you know, so much of the literature that focuses on personal productivity completely overlooks how much the team you work in, governs what you're able to do and how you're able to do it to be successful. And then as the team, what can we do to get it set up so that the individuals of the team and the team itself can have, you know, really good performance outcomes and belonging.
Absolutely. And you've all found in the service, Inform Your Work. And how does it show up in this book? Again, it's called Team Habits.
Well, thanks for that. I served in the Army, and, you know, what many people don't understand who are not in the military or not around military service members is how process driven everything is. I think it's really personality driven, but it's not. It's so much process driven. And so when I entered the civilian workforce, I was like, wait a second, you all don't do this? This is just basic common sense. And so that sort of process thinking, working at the team level, having each other's back, doing hard things together, but then figuring out how to do it together, it's just so hardwired into me and a lot of other service members. And so that guides a lot of my work. But also, I think a lot of people don't really take the relationships that they have with their coworkers nearly seriously enough and take responsibility for those. And so, Shalom, you know, when you serve with your squad or your platoon or whatever echelon you're in, it's really all about how you're working with them. And tomorrow we'd see much more engagement, happiness, and performance in many more, civilian teams.
I couldn't agree more. I'm chatting with Charlie Gilkey, business author, speaker, coach, entrepreneur. And we're chatting about his new book, Team Habits, How Small Actions Lead to Extraordinary Results, published in August, just a few months ago. Great stocking stuffer. And we'll make sure to link in the show notes. And of course, make sure our listeners know where they can find this great book. So you have another bit of background, aside from your military service, that it sounds like it's had a pretty big impact on your work as well. You grew up, as I understand it, poor. Black in the South. What impact does that background have on you these days, if any?
Well, I didn't grow up in a place where I had the privilege of power and the privilege of always being the go-to sort of person for things. And so when I look at a lot of the work that needs to happen in teams, it's really, what are we doing so that the people who are not in the dominant seats of power or privilege have a voice and have contribution and feel respect and acknowledgement. So growing up that way, I can't but not see it now. So when I'm, you know, facilitating or coaching or presenting, I just have an eye for those folks who are not really keyed into the conversation or not really being brought in. And, you know, when I wrote so much about team, when I wrote Team Habits, I wanted so much for it to be something that people who are in positions of power learned how to bring others in. But I also wanted it to be a cheat sheet of all the things that, like, you pick up along the way if you're in leadership or if you're in management, that people who haven't been in those seats might be able to pick up and use and leverage to, you know, really make their teams better, not just for them, but for the entire team and organization.
Absolutely. So you alluded to something in some of your previous conversations, interviews, that the book worked on you while you were writing it. What do you mean by that?
Well, it worked on me because every book, you know, every book you do works on you in that same way. But it really had me step back and think about a lot, like, what habits did I have personally that were creating bad team habits? And what team habits did we have that just weren't working for us? So, for instance, we, you know, really rethought a lot of our meeting structures over the last couple of years, just based upon some of the book and the teammates understanding what we can do outside of meetings that would make us not need to have some of the crutch meetings we were having. And it also helped me think about some of those core team habits that I talk about in the final parts of the book that we all could practice together, that I was individually, you know, just practicing on my own. And, you know, my teammates thought that I was just, you know, a super performer, but it's like, no, I just have these habits. And if we did them together, we would get a multiplicative effect from that. And so it really had me take a step back and think, okay, what are the team habits that I can improve? Because obviously with my last book, there was so much of that as like, what are my own personal productivity habits? So that's kind of how it worked on me.
Absolutely. And we are a practical show. We like to put our listeners to work, especially as we have this conversation at the end of the year, where New Year's resolutions is a thing. So in this great book, Team Habits, I mean, what are some of the practical things that you think our listeners can and should put into practice in the weeks and months ahead?
So I think there are a few things, and I need to reframe or reassert that when I say team, I mean the 4 to 8 people that you spend 80% of your time working with. And that's important because if I don't frame that, then people will think some of the things that I'm talking about is outside of their reach. And the thing, Shalom, is that so many of the things that frustrate us at work are things that we teammates are doing to each other. So it's me and Shalom pretending we're on a team doing that to each other, not higher ups, not the organization. So a few things that you can take away from this. One, I'll start with meetings because it's a sort of easy topic to go to. As a team, create the rule with each other that no agenda, then it will make sure that you don't show up to meetings that are unnecessary or that you don't show up to a meeting and spend 20 minutes trying to figure out why you're there. And that's something we can do with and for each other. Second thing on that one is when you have the inevitable frictions and bumps that come up at work, make them about the systems and the ways that you're working with each other and not the personalities of the team, right? Think like, what is it about the ways that we're doing this or the environment that's creating this friction? Not necessarily that Shalom doesn't like Charlie. And the third thing that I'll say on this one is work on your decision-making team habits and really figure out who owns what decisions they can make. I'll talk about this more in the book. But if you work on those three things so that you can call out the bumps as just bumps and ways that you're stepping on each other's toes, have fewer meetings that are unnecessary or show up to meetings that are great, and figure out who makes what decisions and how, so much of the friction of your team will like evaporate pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Charlie, I could have this conversation for hours, and certainly I look forward to doing that sometime soon, but you have a lot of content in the book, and that's the most important takeaway and homework assignment we want to leave with our listeners. How can they get in touch with you, and how can they get a copy of this great read?
So first, thanks for having me, Shalom. I hope this has been a good use of your listeners' time. If you're interested in this improving your team habits, go to betterteamhabits.com. You'll find out more about the book and also the free resources we have to support you making work better together with your teammates.
Charlie Gilkey, really enjoyed the conversation. Looking forward to having you back on real soon. We're going to be right back on the show all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. You're listening to Get Down to Business. As always, you can get on my website, syklein.com, but don't touch that dial. Get Down to Business. We'll return in a moment. Welcome back to Get Down to Business. It's always a thrill each and every week when I could talk to amazing entrepreneurs, amazing founders, creators, people solving real problems. And that's why I am honestly super stoked and excited to be joined by Barton Scott, who meets all of that criteria, frankly. He's also the author of a fantastic book. It's called Are You Deficient? I know you could get that on his website, upgradedformulas.com. Barton, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So you have a very interesting background. You have certainly, as I understand it, sort of grew up in a under the mentorship of your dad, which may have led to your crazy passion for entrepreneurship, but also a commitment to health, performance, and nutrition. Barton, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, certainly. So the background, like you said, I studied chemical engineering, but what prepared me for that was wrestling. And just if anyone's ever, witnessed that sport, you can kind of see how difficult it is. It's part of the reason why most UFC people that actually do well are wrestlers. And that was great from a mindset standpoint, but what it really gave me was a lot of nutrient deficiencies. And, even though I became one of the top wrestlers in my weight in high school, by the time I was in college, I was very, when I finally found a hair analysis to understand what my deficiencies were, I was so deficient, it looked like a 90-year-old's and an unhealthy 90-year-old's levels at that point. So the good news, I think, about what we're talking about is that you can reverse these things with good technology.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what you're doing right now, pioneering a new frontier in men and women's fertility, sleep, nutritional wellness, using new groundbreaking technology. So, who knew chemical engineering and, but it was more of those personal experiences. So let's get into the meat and potatoes. I don't know if those are good things for your performance and nutrition. Maybe we could talk about that. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of what you do and why your solutions are unique. Tell us a little bit about Upgrade Formulas.
What I discovered is that the size of the actual nutrient that you're taking in affects how easily you absorb it. So your body does, most people's bodies today, nearly everyone, they have low stomach acid. So their digestive system doesn't work very well at all, really. And the way you combat that is, the way I figured out at least, is to use nanotechnology equipment and change the particle size of things like magnesium, for example, so that you absorb it just as your body would from food, but without having to actually digest it. So the particles, and really the particle size, is small enough of the nutrient. Just think like big basketball hoop versus small basketball hoop. So the body now, or a huge basketball versus a really small one. So, when you're taking normal supplements, what you're normally doing is trying to put a huge basketball inside of a small hoop. So for that to work, the body has to break it down. It has to break it down, and that doesn't work very well for most people because they have low stomach acid and other issues, leaky gut, all sorts of things from, diet and environment. So what I figured out was how to change that particle size to make it so small that it could go into our red blood cells without digestion. Mm-hmm.
When we were talking a moment ago before we actually kicked off the recording, is the way you summed it up in the military, we call it the bluff, the bottom line up front, is making people better and healthier. And that's what you're doing, upgrade formulas. And I know you're getting ready to unveil a new book, Your Personality in a Pill, How and Why Nutrition Becomes Personality. But Barton, I mean, it's fascinating. It's amazing how much of a how much progress you've made. And certainly as we have this conversation on a business oriented program, we're having this conversation now in December, when folks are very focused on those New Year's resolutions. But as entrepreneurs, a lot of folks are starting to think about how they can perform better, how they can be better and more productive and more efficient at what they do, because every minute counts. So tell us what we need to know. Again, what are some of those things that you think, whether it's that appearance, like you say, about hair, whether it's about just the energy levels, again, what should we know about your upgraded formulas?
What I found out is that's incredibly interesting is that we can look at, so we have a bunch of nutritionists that work for us, and they're a phone call away once you have your results. And they can go through these results, and what we find and what the book is about is how these interesting ways, things that we would label, you know, from a psychiatrist standpoint as bipolar, or, you know, certainly from a business perspective, ineffectual, right? We're able to upgrade that, improve that, so that when you have more energy, you have more focus, you have more ability to deploy upon your given tasks and goals and dreams. And what I realized early in my 20s was, and the reason I started the company in part, besides losing my mother, feeling, you know, helpless in the process of getting her well, and ultimately just resolving, like, oh, there's got to be a different way. We have to be able to get these nutrients to absorb better. The other aspect of it was, well, I'm in my early and mid 20s at this point, and I'm just finishing chemical engineering. I'm, you know, studying to become a nutritionist as well, and starting to see people and help them. And I'm realizing, man, it really is, it comes down to how much energy we have. If we have the insight, if we have, you know, because what I realized is you could be a very smart person, and if you didn't have enough energy, you wouldn't have the follow through for your great ideas. So that's how everything comes in. So I think about sleeping really well. I think about, you know, the correlation between sleep and how much energy you have the following day. And when you sleep really well, when you can improve that even 20%, 10%, 5%, you have a drastic shift. So we did a clinical trial on one of the supplements I put out called Upgraded Magnesium. And using this new technology, it's not about the form, you know, this form or that form of magnesium. It's about the delivery system. It's kind of saying, like, it's not this car or that car. It's, we're going to take a different transportation method. Like, we're going to take a jet now, a subsonic jet, you know, and this allows for nutrients to be absorbed much, much better, like nearly completely at a cellular level without even needing digestion. So this allows us to get rid of these mineral deficiencies in the body that we all have. Literally everyone has these. And it also helps us push out heavy metals. And this helps our thyroid to work better, so we get more energy, our adrenals to work better, so we have more sustained follow through, so we sleep better, so we crave sugar less, all these things. So all of these things are really just tools for being a better entrepreneur, is how I see it.
Absolutely. I'm chatting with Barton Scott, the founder of Upgraded Formulas, available at upgradedformulas.com. Barton, I want to, in our last few minutes, talk a little bit, take our listeners behind the scenes. You are not only a genius, but really having an impact on thousands and thousands, perhaps many, many more when you think about the ripple effects in businesses and families and so on people's lives and businesses. But you are an entrepreneur. Did you ever think as a chemical engineer that you would be running a business? And what are some of the surprises about entrepreneurship that you've experienced that might be beneficial to demystify for our listeners?
Well, thank you for that. And I think I always wanted to be calling my own shots and charting my own path. And also I knew that I needed to work for a company, You know, I worked for a couple major oil companies, for example. Didn't love it. wasn't a calling. Just needed the experience of working hard, doing good work, and hating it, really. And knowing, but developing the skills of working hard and working well and building teams and selling and all these different things. Mm-hmm. And I would say some of the other valuable things that I learned along my path was just the value of going out and building resilience and getting comfortable with rejection, getting comfortable with locking onto a goal and just really building that muscle of becoming rejection proof.
Yeah.
So that to me was direct sales.
It's not always the success stories. There's a lot of challenges along the way. Right. And I know you've experienced that. In fact, your company was a lot of the stories based on some of the loss that you've experienced personally. Barton, really enjoyed our conversation. I want to make sure our listeners can find your company, find your products. How can they do that?
UpgradedFormulas.com is the best place to go. And we'll be doing some gift cards soon for Christmas. If you're thinking of other people in your life.
Fantastic. Barton, thanks so much for telling your story. Can't wait to bring you back on real soon. Looking forward to celebrating your successes and learning from you some more. Barton Scott, upgradedformulas.com. Quick break on Get Down to Business. We'll be right back. And we are back on the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. As always, I encourage you to find us on your favorite podcast app. Just ask your smart speaker to listen to Get Down to Business. But be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share. It makes it even easier for others to find out all about this program. And speaking of this program, get on my website, sykline.com. So you can get a sneak peek of who's going to be on next week on the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Check me out on Twitter at Shalom Klein. So I want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about volunteerism and specifically a couple of great volunteer opportunities. So, you know, you might be wondering, we're talking about small business on this program. Why would you want to volunteer? Business is all about making money. But in reality, strategic volunteering can actually positively impact your career, your business. So work experience is absolutely critical to moving forward in your career. You know that. But did you know that you could actually gain many valuable job skills through volunteering? As an agent for social change, volunteering allows you to impact communities while also accelerating your career. Strategic volunteering enables you to learn more about what activities and fields you enjoy, identify your strengths, build connections, and gain important skills and experiences. So according to a report by the Corporation for National and Community Service, candidates with volunteer experience have a 27% better chance of finding employment than non-volunteer counterparts. Furthermore, in a Deloitte survey that I found of human resource executives, 81% felt skilled volunteering should be considered in a hiring decision, and 76% felt volunteering made a candidate more desirable, with the desirability factor even higher for volunteer experience among college graduates. So again, you might learn some really valuable skills: public speaking, presentation skills, technology skills, communication, social media, project management, career in your business. And I encourage everybody to take a long, hard look at, again, how volunteering in your community will help you with that networking experience, those professional skills that will really propel you. And most importantly, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You're going to be able to make an impact in your community in areas that you are passionate about. Let's say you love animals, you love dogs. Volunteer that humane society, volunteer that animal shelter, and you'll likely network with people that you would always, get in touch with me on my website, sykline.com. But specifically, I want to spend a couple of minutes now talking about a very specific volunteer opportunity that I'm really, really passionate about. I've spoken about this many times on Get Down to Business, but the ESGR. Many of you know that I have a connection with the military, and we are very fond of acronyms. So before I go on and describe a whole bunch of additional acronyms, ESGR, DOD, you know, let me tell you about ESGR. ESGR is the Department of Defense Office, which was established in 1972 to promote cooperation and understanding between reserve component service members and their civilian employers to assist in the resolution of conflicts arising from an employee's military commitment. ESGR is the employer support of the Guard and Reserve. It's supported by a network of nearly 3,000 volunteers. That's right, I'm using the V word again. In 54 committees located across 50 states, the District of Columbia, Guam, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, volunteers hailing from small business and industry, government, education, prior military service, bring a vast wealth of experience to assist in serving employers, service members, and their families. Together with the headquarters, ESGR staff, and a small cadre of support staff for each state committee, volunteers work to promote and enhance employer support for military service in the Guard and Reserve. And now you hear it in the news, military service is more important than ever. ESGR has served our country for more than 50 years, fostering a culture in which employers support and value the employment and military service of members of the National Guard and Reserve in the United States. These citizen warriors could not defend and protect us at home and abroad without the continued promise of meaningful civilian employment for themselves and their families. ESGR has continued to adapt to meet the needs of reserve component members, their families, and America's employers by joining forces with a network of other national, state, and local government and professional trade organizations. Together, we all serve. And that's the ESGR motto. So there are a lot of ways that, again, you can help. Definitely volunteering. Volunteering, again, all of these resources are available on esgr.mil, esgr.mil. We need volunteers. We need volunteers to step up in Illinois and around the country. We also need employers to sign a statement of support. That statement of support really enables you to say, thank you for your military service, thank you for your support, but it allows you to sign a pledge to support the military service of employees. It doesn't even matter if you have military employees. There's also a progressive awards program where you can nominate a supportive supervisor and employer for support that goes above and beyond what's required by the law. So ESGR needs to hear that input, needs to hear from you, so we can create a culture in which all American employers value the military service of their employees and will limit the issues between employers and service member. ESGR, again, the employer support of the Guard and Reserve, is able to answer any questions you may have regarding those opportunities. Visit esgr.mil. And I look forward to hearing from you. I'm a passionate volunteer here in the state of Illinois. Lastly, before we go to break, I want to encourage you to get in touch with our sponsor, Tom Mirabali. You can reach him 630-863-3477 for all of your health insurance and Affordable Care Act needs. 630-863-3477. Or on his website, healthplanchicago.com. Again, don't touch that dial. You're listening to Get Down to Business. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back on Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. I am super excited, thrilled, actually, to be joined by Dr. Roger Firestein, who is the author of a fantastic book. It's called Solve the Real Problem, because what you think is the problem is usually not the problem. And Roger, really, really excited to have you on the show, where we're going to learn how to stop solving the wrong problems. How about that?
That sounds great. And it's great to be on the show. Thank you, Shalom.
Absolutely. So let's get to know you a little bit, yes. The person behind the microphone, before we start to solve the real problem over here. Roger, why did you get interested in this topic? And tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been involved in the creativity and innovation business for about 45 years now. I've had the privilege of working with hundreds of companies across the world. And the latest book, Solve the Real Problem, came as a result of working with really smart, sophisticated people like doctors and like people in the military. And they were familiar with my work in creative problem solving and creativity from my book, Creating a Flash, that we talked about a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they said, we'd like you to come in and we'd like you to help us to figure out how to help us to figure out what the real problem is. I said, wait just a second. I mean, you folks are doctors and you folks are in the military. You can't figure out what the real problem is. They said, well, no. Oftentimes, if we're in the military, we're in a command and control environment. It's sort of like, well, the problem is what the admiral thinks is the problem or the boss thinks is the problem. Oftentimes in medical situations, it's the problem that sort of your first leap to what the problem was. And so one of the things I was discovering is that really smart people are good at coming up with ideas, But when it comes up to questioning what the real problem is, that's where we have a bit of a challenge there. And so my philosophy is about 90% of the time, what we think is a problem is actually not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem, or what the boss thinks is the problem, or a knee-jerk reaction to the problem. And this book set out to give you some specific tools to actually find what the real problem is.
And things like that, mistakes like that, cost time, energy, and frankly, lives, because you've already alluded to a couple of those industries. But again, misdiagnosis of illnesses, education programs that don't help students, millions of dollars into business plans that don't get off the ground. These are some really some really real examples over here. So Roger, let's talk about what's in this book. And I almost hesitate at calling it a book because there's a lot of research in there and a lot of real examples. So I've alluded to some of those examples. What are some of those problem-solving mindsets that you can share with our listeners, just the Reader's Digest version?
Sure, absolutely. Well, in this book, I interviewed people from medicine, engineering, manufacturing, transportation, all walks of life. And I asked them, I said, give me an example of a problem that you worked on that when you got down the road a bit, it really wasn't the problem at all. It was something else. And so I got all these wonderful responses from all these terrific people from all these various industries. And I found that what happened was their responses settled into four categories, or mindsets, as we call them. One, and this is a mindset that we use to solve the problem. So one mindset that will help you solve the problem is to challenge your assumptions. Challenge your assumptions. The other one is to get an outside perspective. The other one is to see the big picture. And the other one is to look for all the details. And in each one of those mindsets, we have examples of exactly the case where people set out to solve one problem, wasn't the problem at all, and we discovered it was another problem that really needed to be worked on. So yeah, so challenge your assumptions, get an outside perspective, see the big picture, look for all the details.
Absolutely. So those techniques have already been helping so many folks. Again, I'm chatting with Dr. Roger Fierson. Indeed, we had you on talking about creating in a flash. I mean, you've lived on in the creative process, and certainly you've done that and shared some of those techniques in many schools that you have taught in, and appreciate you coming on the program. I know you've shared expert views on creativity in many publications, but what are some of the individuals and organizations that you've been able to help through this process? Any real examples that you can share with us?
Well, I can share a whole bunch of examples I can share with you. I've done work with General Motors when we worked with those folks, and we worked with the Clorox company, and we were fortunate we went to work on a problem there with those folks that was troubling the company for 70 years. We were able to come up with a new way of solving that in about 15 minutes. You name the industry, we've just about been there.
Absolutely. And again, things like that save a fortune of money. Mm-hmm. And again, really, one of the things we've talked a lot about on the program in other conversations is people want to be used the right way. Nobody wants to push paper around just for the sake of pushing the paper. And you mentioned some of those examples of bureaucracy within the government that, you know, the government can certainly use some of your creative problem solving. CPS, I know you use that term, that acronym quite a bit for short. So that's great. Some real successes. You talk about clarifying the problem quite a bit. Do you mind sharing the highlights of some of those steps of clarifying the problem?
Yeah. So the bottom line is we've been taught to find answers to problems, not to question the problem itself. And so we've been taught to find answers to problems, not to question the problem itself. And so when we talk about clarifying the problem, we don't accept the first definition of the problem as a real problem. So let's play around with that for just a little bit. We use language to clarify problems. For example, there's a big difference between saying we don't have enough money and it's too expensive, as opposed to saying how to raise the money or how might we reduce the cost. Now, those last two questions are what we call creative questions. And they begin with words like how to or how might. Right? Those creative questions actually tell your brain to go and begin looking for solutions for solving that problem, as opposed to those first two statements that say there's no ideas out there. Why bother looking anyway? And so what we have folks do is very simply just come up with a whole bunch of creative questions. And Shalom, you know, I think people are very familiar with brainstorming and coming up with lots and lots of ideas. But what we do in this book is we use the same technique to come up with lots of ideas, to come up with a whole bunch of different ways to view the problem. Because it's our view that the problem that you see is the problem that you solve.
That's what this book is all about.
Exactly.
The real problem, because what you think is the problem is usually not the problem. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Roger Fierson when we return on Get Down to Business in just a moment. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. continuing our conversation with the one and only author of Solve the Real Problem. Really enjoying this conversation. It's really something that's relevant to big businesses, small businesses, entrepreneurs certainly tuning into this program, regardless of industry, chatting with Dr. Roger Fireson. Roger, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us. Absolutely. So we've been chatting about a couple of the problem-solving mindsets. And something that's interesting that you mentioned is getting an outside perspective. That's something we always mention on this program, getting that mentorship. What do you mean by outside perspective?
Well, getting an outside perspective, the best source of new information is not from the people that you talk to every day. They have the same information that you do. And so when we're working on a challenge, we recommend to like go outside of the area. And let me give you an example. The container shipping industry. Do you know who invented, not necessarily who invented, but what business do you think the person that invented the container shipping industry was in?
Oh, I don't know, please.
It wasn't shipping. Okay. The inventor of the container shipping industry was a truck driver. And the problem with the ships in the 50s is that the shipping industry was dying because they spent more time in ports loading and unloading freight. So a truck driver named Malcolm McLean looked at it and he said, well, what if we put standardized boxes, put the freight in there and have it preloaded before the ships even come in? That cuts down the time at the docks. They can turn around very, very quickly. But it wasn't the people in the industry that came up with the idea of container ships. It was a person in a related industry, but certainly not in the shipping industry. So that's an example of getting an outside perspective. Yeah.
That's awesome. And challenging your assumptions. That's something I know also really, really important. Tell me more.
Well, here's a medical example. So in the book, we talk about a physician who is a sports physician, and he fixes people that have problems with spines and those sorts of things. Young gentleman comes into him and he says his tailbone hurts. Well, first is this young gentleman is admitted to, goes to the hospital. He's 12 years old. He said his tailbone hurts. Well, he goes into the hospital. They do x-rays on him. The orthopedist comes in. He goes, I'm looking at your x-rays. I don't see any problem with your tailbone here, but I'm going to give you another test. So they gave him an MRI. All right. Still no problem with your tailbone. Okay. So he gives them another x-ray. Now, this child has got like the equivalent of like 300 x-rays, all right, which is really challenging. You know, it's going to be a health problem later on. Still nothing. So he goes to Dr. Michael Geraci, who's a specialist in this. The young man comes in, and Mike Geraci says, well, I'd like you to do this. Point to where it hurts. And so the 12-year-old young man points to a place on his back about 4 inches above his tailbone. He didn't know what a tailbone was. So the earlier doctors assumed that a 12-year-old knew exactly what his tailbone was. It wasn't that at all. It was just a herniated disc, and he gave him some exercises. So there was an example where they just went with one assumption and created some real challenges there. So just where does it hurt? Well, it was 3 inches above where your tailbone is.
That's wild. Roger, I could talk to you for hours, and it's really, really a fascinating discussion. But the most important homework assignment that I want to give our listeners is to get a copy of this book and get in touch with you. There's so many more examples, so many other deep dives that can be done. And I know we've already talked about some of your previous books, but I'm sure you've got a lot more research and a lot more information in store. Roger, how can we get in touch with you? And again, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Solve the Real Problem, because what you think is the problem is usually... Or you can go to my website, Roger Fireson.
And that's a wrap for us here. What a great week. Some fantastic guests, lots of content information. And I've certainly learned a lot. I hope you did as well. Get on my website, syklein.com. Subscribe, rate, review, and share on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a single episode. Get on my website, syklein.com. To success, let's get down to business. Have a great week ahead. We'll talk to you next week right here on AM560 The Answer.